Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Monday, September 13th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, and talk all about backyard poultry, show poultry, and sustainable lifestyle. And, of course, whatever just might tickle your fancy. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And, again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waterers, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's GQF Radio. chickenwhisperer.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. A couple of extra commercials thrown in there. I was getting situated over here for the show, running a little bit behind, so that gives me a little time to get things done and post some things on Facebook for all of our fans to come join us live and listen to another great program of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is now time to welcome our wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, Pat Forman. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Whisperer, how are you doing today? I know I understand from our earlier conversation you've had one incredible day already with your school system. So things are settling down a bit now, are they?
I guess just a little bit settling down. So, yeah, it's just I'm in one of those moods of, a little rant here, a little rant there. It's just absolutely amazing. I could go on and go on. We'll share a little bit of that with you and what we did over the weekend. But tell us about your weekend, Pat. Let us know how your weekend was. What'd you do?
Oh, thanks. I must admit, I enjoy your rants, Whisper. When you get to your ranting, it's incredibly entertaining. there could almost be a rant show. You know, maybe once a week we should just have a session just on ranting.
Absolutely.
In other words, sending out about things that, we did one on pet peeves almost, so maybe ranting is next.
Same thing. Yeah, there's a local radio show host here, Clark Howard, who does a great job, and millions of fans across America. He also has a segment on CNN, but I think once a week he has a little segment called Clark Stinks, and he answers emails from people that disagree with him or has a problem with this or that, and he addresses all of them. And sometimes he says, yeah, I guess once I reevaluated and got more information on, yeah, I did give wrong information, or yeah, I can see your point there, or he'll continue to explain why he has a stance on a certain point. So it was he does that. Maybe we can have a CW Stink session or something like that, and
or
have a 15-minute rant a day every day. They'll have it on Mondays. Everybody just dreads Mondays, so you can't have it on Fun Fridays, that's for sure. So maybe we have a 15-minute segment about Andy's daily rant on Monday show, but so how about your weekend?
Oh, well, thanks for asking. Yeah, I had an amazing weekend. I spent about equal parts of it on writing these grants and getting ready for the presentations at the Pennsylvania Renewable Energy and Sustainable Agriculture Show. I'm giving three talks there. And then some friends called and said, hey, we're processing chickens. You want to come help? So not chickens, turkeys. They were going to process eight turkeys, and there were five of us there. And it was interesting because I love these beautiful birds, and it's always interesting to see how they dress out. But it was such a nice community kind of day. I mean, we had processing talk. I'm not sure what, but there's something when you're pulling feathers out and just chatting about life, and it was a beautiful day, absolutely perfectly gorgeous day, and it was out on their homestead in the country. I mean, it was good, and I had forgotten, it's been about 8 years, maybe 6 years since I've processed anything, and I kind of forgotten some of the parts of it, which is just as well. but did we have fresh turkey for dinner? No, we had omelets. There's something about, you just don't want to eat it after and handling it that closely, that much. But they did it the true homestead way, which was just that they boiled water on the stove. They put the carcass in there for 1 minute. They sort of had a little killing cone hanging on a tree, and they just kind of let it bleed out there, and then we started pulling feathers. And so anyway, it was a very low tech and highly fun day. And then we had homemade ice cream after the omelet with the fresh goat's milk, because they have dairy goats there. So that was absolutely divine, too. So that was kind of my weekend.
That's awesome. I must say, I've never had ice cream made with goat's milk before. How was it?
Oh, it was absolutely, I could have eaten four times what I ate. if I eat sugar at night, it gives me funny dreams. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, my body and my mind don't like to have a lot of sugar in the evening. So they kind of shadow dreams. So I restrict myself, but I didn't quite have my quota, and I could have had more. But it was fun. And they just had a new little baby donkey born about a week ago. And I tell you, talk about ears and little fur and kind of oversized. I mean, I just fell in love with this little donkey. But
We don't need any more asses in this world. There's plenty of politicians already.
Yeah, I would like to see just a whole new Congress and Senate, really. Just term limits so they don't make it their whole life, and then just start fresh would be kind of good. But on the other hand, you know, this little donkey, I trusted it. It was just so sweet. I mean, pick up its little hooves, and I was scratching its ears, and it was nibbling on my little shirt. I mean, this is a true ass to love.
You said it, not me.
I know. I have a huge degree of freedom here. So how was your weekend? I mean, how was the poultry show? You went live on Saturday. Sorry, I couldn't join you. I was caught up at the farmer's market. But what happened?
We had a fabulous time. We got out of here about 3:30, set in a lot of this Atlanta traffic, and which was, of course, always horrible. But we did get up there in about the two-hour time frame that I had kind of scheduled for our trip, and got checked into the hotel motel, and then headed over to the opening night. Not only was it opening night for the county fair, but there was also the poultry show that was going on the very next day. So we went in and visited the poultry barn, talked to lots of folks, looked at all the birds that had come in Friday evening for the show on Saturday. Once we kind of got done with that, then we just walked, you know, just a few feet, and there we were. There we were at the opening night of the county fair. It was great. We didn't partake in any of the rides, but we did walk around. They had a blacksmith there that was very cool, making horseshoes and all kinds of ironworks, and just, you know, your typical county fair. It's just such a fun time, such a great atmosphere. People are walking around. You meet some new folks. You learn about their skills and their hobbies, and of course, we partook in some wonderful, wonderful food. We actually ate at a little venue that was being run by a local church, and the best cobbler, man. The cobbler, let's see, Jim had cherry cobbler, I had apple. It was very, very delicious. But the best find that I found there at the fair, of course, they had roasted corn. I can't have corn, but they had roasted corn, which is excellent, that you have to have every year. I think someone was telling me that last year there was one vendor that had roasted corn. It was such a big hit, he always sold out. This year there were at least three vendors that had the roasted corn. Not kettle corn, but truly the corn that they were roasting over an open fire in the in the shop, the whole thing. It was great. So you gotta love the county fairs. But my biggest find at the fair was awesome. And towards the back where they had a few of the little 10x10 little areas set up for a lot of the local vendors and whatnot, I found a little family that had canned a bunch of their stuff right out of their garden. And let me tell you this, I walked in and they had beautiful vegetable soup, and it looked like it was probably, and it was in the big mason jars. I would say probably quart size mason jars, because I contributed in my mind to about the size of a quart feeder I put down in a brooder. So that's where my mathematical process comes from. So it's about a quart jar, and so I got one of homemade vegetable soup from this family, and then I got, I think, nine quart jars of green beans, Blue Lake pole beans, that they had canned. And you know, get ready for this. These mason jars have gotten kind of expensive. You go to the store, you buy them, they're not cheap.
No.
But ready for this? They were selling, and I'll have to go look and see. I'm pretty sure they were quart. They were the big boys, the quart jars of green beans. Ready for this? $2. $2. And so, I don't even know what you could buy that quart jar for in the stores. You get them a pack of 12 or 24. But, and so here were the nice, fresh, right out of their garden, already canned green beans, because our green beans this year didn't do all that great. And me and Jen love green beans, as we probably have that as a vegetable just about every dinner. But I bought about 9 jars of that. I mean, I think about it. A can of just regular old green beans at the store runs anywhere from store brand, say, 85, 95 cents up to $1.50. If you're talking about the name brand, Green Giant, Libby's, things like that. If you get the organic canned green beans, they're about $1.50 a piece. And here I was getting a whole quart, about 2 regular size cans of green beans, right off somebody's farm, totally canned for $2. I said, I'll take them all. Every can you have here, I'll take them all. And she loaded them up in a box, and because I would have bought green beans anyway at the store, I'd much rather give my money to this nice family and get something fresh right out of the garden instead of buying a can at the store, which I got to buy anyway at $2. It's more of a value. So that was my find at the county fair. It was great times, and a lot of people know that Christina Duncan is my personal assistant. She helps me a lot the day-to-day things that go along around here. But her son and daughter, Brighton and Laura, man, they won big. They won big at the show. It was amazing. I can't even tell you and keep and go through all the awards that they got, but I know they had a great time. They won really big. I know they're talking about it in the chat room there. But overall, it was a great show. Had a lot of good times. But, you know, what I want to do now is because Matt Lamon, who is the vice president of the American Bantam Association, he has joined us today. He is at work, so he's calling in on his lunch break to be with us. So I'm very proud that he's here. So what we're going to do is we're going to wait for Chickens in the News till a little bit later in the show because he's so graciously has called in for the show. So we're going to spend a few minutes with him. We do have some actual questions that I'd like to ask him that kind of came up at the show yesterday. And as we are working with ABA, the APA, they come on the show once a month. We're big supporters of their yearbook, and of course we're going to be at the national meet up in Ohio broadcasting live, and as we get more and more involved in the show scene and touring locally and hopefully across the country to all these shows, meeting folks and seeing what their needs and wants and requests are, then we get to share them with the ABA and the APA when they come on the show, suggestions and hints and things like that. So let me go over here to the switchboard. Little bit of change here, folks. We'll get to Chickens in the News because I have some Chickens in the News today that it's going to make you livid. That's going to make you absolutely just almost sad to what this country is becoming. Where, and I'll just tease you a little bit if you don't follow me on Facebook, where a man is actually being sued by the county for growing too many vegetables in his yard, and he's got 2 acres. So you're not going to want to miss Chickens in the News. We'll go to that a little bit later in the radio show. But special circumstances today, we are going to go ahead and go live to the phones and bring on Matt Lamon, Vice President of the American Bantam Association. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hi, Andy. Hi, Pat. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, great. Thanks for joining us, Matt. Especially over your lunch hour. Hope you get to eat.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been a month already.
I know.
I know. It's crazy. You're right. Time flies. I was thinking about it at the show. I was like, oh, you know, that's a great question. We can ask Matt when he comes on Monday. So I'm so glad we have you for a little bit of time. It was an ABA sanctioned show. It was a double show. And I have a couple of questions that I noticed, just being, again, a true novice. Kept poultry a long time, but the show scene really started. In fact, I think I went to really my first show started maybe a couple of years ago, two and a half years ago. And, of course, this year getting a little bit more involved in it, trying to follow it. I still don't think that I will – I can't say never, but right now just my time schedule and whatnot, I don't even have, I guess, time to show, even though I came real close to entering one of my birds at the smaller show. Maybe there'll one be close to home that I can enter one of my Rhode Island Reds in, that everybody who comes over says, wow, she's show quality. You ought to show her. And so maybe if we have time one of these days, I may just kind of throw her in a show and see what happens. But we had a great time. There were probably I think initially he said about 500 birds. I don't know the total amount. I don't think it was quite 500 birds that were there. So I guess as far as shows go, it's a little bit smaller. Maybe around 350 birds were at the show. And we got to meet a lot of folks, got to saw that it was a Bantam-only show. So we'll just start off with that question since it just came out of my mouth, the kind of the Bantam-only show. And, of course, being American Bantam Association, there's the American Poultry Association. But there are shows that keep all breeds. There are shows that just do – I don't know of any shows that just do large fowl. I'm sure there's probably some. And then just the, Bantam-only show. But the question came up while we were up there why have a show? Why go to all the work of having a show? Why go to all the time of having a show? And you want to have good outcome at the show and good participation, and then just have it a Bantam show versus maybe an all breed, large breed fowl and a small breed fowl, Bantams versus the large breed. I can't imagine it being really any more work. You would have, the judges are already there that are apparently cross-trained ABA, APA. You've got people that would actually be able to see more birds. You have more entries, which would maybe raise more money for your club. What are some of the advantages that you see and versus, say, of someone having just an all-Bantam show like we saw this weekend?
The all-Bantam shows are more typical in the South.
Okay.
So that's where you see them. I don't know of any in the north that are all Bantam. The Bantams are more popular down there. It's up to the individual show on how they do that. So it could be a matter of limited cooping. They may not be able to coop large fowl or waterfowl, so that's why they just do Bantams. You have a lot of just Bantam licensed judges in the south. So it's kind of, you're in a unique situation where you're going to see that more than the rest of the country. But I don't know of any of them other than the South. Now, we do have, like, all game shows and some specialty shows where you'll have all Bantams. But most of the ones in the South that are just strictly Bantams, that's up to the individual club. And I think it's because they don't have cooping for large birds or a big enough – I don't know, they're not going to get a big enough entry to warrant it.
I see. Okay. No, good. That question had come up as well. Let me get over here to the chat room so I can open up. There we go. And so we probably have some pretty tough questions for you, but these were questions that came up that I know not only I have, but other people we talked to at the show and things that people who show actually have a few questions. So and I think we talked a little bit back when we had the APA on last month. We had some tougher questions for them as well regarding some of the subjects. So, and I just want to learn in general. So when people ask me, I have an answer for them or can kind of explain something. But we've got one here is that a question from the chat room. Why is it okay for a show superintendent to show their birds in their own show? And I guess some people frown upon that. Some people like me and Pat were talking about this earlier today when I called her and told her some of the things we would be covering today. And she would, she had a good point, Pat, where you said that, why should he or she be eliminated because they're doing all this work to put on a show that they can't participate in the point system just because they're putting on a show. So there's that level of it. Some people, I don't know if it's necessarily a, is that really fair type of issue? You know, life's not fair. Build a bridge, get over it. But but it's, why? I guess there's no rules that say a show superintendent can't show their birds in their own show. Do you get this question a lot?
Nothing. No, I've never had that one. That's kind of unusual because, I've never had that come up, but there is nothing in the rules where a show superintendent or a show secretary could be exempt from showing. Judges aren't allowed to show. So that's you know, down where we can't show, even if we're not judging that class, we're not allowed to have any birds in the show.
Whether that was the advantage
of the show superintendent, I mean, we're looking at numbers on cards. We have no clue whose birds they are. So I there's no advantage to the show superintendent. What I find a lot is just a lot of sour grapes when people don't win. They'll reach out at anything they can blame it on, and if the show superintendent by some chance won an award and they didn't, then all of a sudden it's a crooked show. So I take a lot of that with a grain of salt.
Sure. Yeah, that's one more thing that they can, I guess, know. And you mentioned that. I think I talked with you about this, or I had mentioned it on a show before. I heard somebody say that, you know, he had won big honors the first two shows, then he went to this third show, and I don't think his bird's even placed, and he got very, you know, upset, and he made statements like, well, I'll just never show when I see that judge. There's a judge at that show. So he's just going to eliminate going to any show where that person's a judge because his birds at that point didn't get a higher rating. So that,
and
I thought that
you
was
never
sort of
can
kind
compare
of,
two shows together. I always tell everybody that.
Yeah.
You know, the worst thing you can tell a judge is, oh, this bird won at this show. Because, number one, we don't know what the competition was at that show. And number two, that was a different day. I mean, they all have their days, and anything can happen. And you just can't compare a show a week ago to one that's happening this weekend. So, again, those things I usually take with a grain of salt and go on.
Oh, perfect. I mean, absolutely. That's what we want to hear. So, and we appreciate you answering the questions. We've got one here that says, again, these are tough questions. I appreciate you putting you on your spot, but
I think all
of our listeners want to know. I appreciate we can get it right. I mean, get the right answer finally instead of rumors going around and people's opinions. But we've got one here that says, why does a judge have access to the exhibitor list, then the exhibitor's number are not covered on the coop tags? So the judge does have apparently access at some shows to the exhibitor list, and then some shows don't cover up the exhibitor numbers on coop tags. Have you heard comments about that situation?
Typically, the exhibitor's list is not made available to the judge, so it's accessible to the exhibitors when they come coop their birds in. But as a judge, you have your own standard of conduct, and I'm not going up and grabbing an exhibitor's list and looking at numbers before I judge. I was at a show this weekend in Belvidere, Illinois, which was a 1,600 bird show, and I went home without a list. I have no clue who won what. So it's some birds I see all the time, yes, but I just don't buy that. Yeah, we're all out to look at lists and go pick this person's birds by numbers. I'm kind of bifocal blind, so I can't see those numbers real good on the coop tags anyways. And so I couldn't tell you what number was what half the time anyhow. So I think they read a lot more into this than what's actually there. We all do this pretty much on a volunteer basis or just to barely meet expenses, so they're sure enough money in it to be cheating.
Right. Let's say somebody had a concern about that, if they saw it happening. I mean, shouldn't they... I mean, obviously you would recommend, say, look, if you have a personal problem with that or if you're concerned, go to the show superintendent, show secretary, and explain to them, say, hey, I really don't think this should be happening, and da-da-da-da-da-da. Do you feel like that's something that maybe another person showing or even somebody who's coming to take a look, do you feel like they should be comfortable in going to the superintendent or the show secretary and mentioning something about that?
If you have a valid concern with something like that,
right,
that's your first stop. And both the AP and ABA have a protest, you know, procedure in place that you can do. But I would go to the show secretary first. And remember, these people are volunteers, too. A lot of them take a week off of work to do this show for you. And the last thing we need is a bunch of whining and complaining to these people that are working for free.
Right.
You just have to put
really
it in perspective that they're working for you and they're not getting paid for it. And that all those little complaints magnified by 150 exhibitors can sometimes be very frustrating to them.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Believe me. I can imagine this last couple of days.
I can speak on this because I was a show secretary for a lot of years. I was a breed club secretary for a lot of years, and I'm a judge, so I've heard it from every which way you can get poked, and it just isn't fun to be on that end of the stick.
Other than just having experience going to the shows, showing in shows, maybe even being a judge and having the life experience of going to a lot of shows and participating, is there any type of guidelines or book or called, you know, information that they can research that would help them guide them put on a show, or is it just based on having going to show?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I know Neil Grassball, the semi-famous photo photographer, always wanted to write a little introductory thing, but I know Cheryl Barnaba from the Northeastern Poultry Congress on their website, which I can't give you the exact address off the top of my head, but she has a great article about beginning your first show, what to do when you come, kind of the etiquette and things, and I just love that article because it's kind of what everybody should read before they come to their first show.
Right.
And if you can reference that later, Andy, it's the Northeastern Poultry Congress. There's a link on sierraohio.com. So.
Okay, perfect.
What was it again?
It's www.crohio.com. That has a lot of exhibition links on it, and there's a link to the Northeastern Poultry Congress show on that link, on that page, and then you can get the article from there.
Okay, thank you.
It's a great article that Cheryl wrote about what to do when you come, because a lot of people just don't know. We have people walk up in the aisles to us and are trying to talk to us and ask us questions while we're judging.
Right.
And they don't know that that's a big no-no. So it's not their fault. So we have to do a better job of educating them on what how we expect them to act when they come to a show.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't know? You go to your first show and you're like, oh, I'm sorry, they're judging down this aisle. Sorry, I've got to. Okay, great. And a lot of them now are putting ropes up on either aisle, which is great because it helps us know when what aisle's open and when not.
We always try to barricade them, but sometimes you get in an end aisle or something where you can't do it, and it's just it's nice that people would know, you know, what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do.
Absolutely. Now that goes with the participant or the one attending. Is there any kind of information to help the one other than experience to actually who wants to put on a poultry show? Actually, I was approached by somebody in a town in South Georgia, and they sent me a Facebook message and said, "Hey, would you help us put on a poultry show here in this city?" And my response email to him, Matt, was very simple, one sentence. It says, they are an awful lot of work and take an awful lot of time, period. And I just kind of left it at that, and then he came back and said, you know, well, we'll have lots of helpers, da-da-da-da-da, and so I'll be talking with them, I think, this next weekend to really making sure they know what really needs to go into doing a show. So I didn't know if there was anything other than just someone's personal experience, long time in the show field, maybe a judge, and they've been on the show circuit for a long time.
You know, at one time I'm thinking someone put out a DVD or a CD on how to put on a poultry show, but I don't think that ever took off very well, so I don't know if it's still available. But my best advice is to partner up with another local show that either they go to or they frequented, and just offer to join that club and help them a little bit. And then work one time and then see if it's something you really want to do.
Exactly.
We did one that used to be called the West Central Ohio Poultry Breeders Show. It was the largest spring show in the country year by year after year. I mean, we started with 15, 20 people doing that. We'd all take a week off work to put that on. It got down to where there was just two or three of us, and rents got so high that we had to actually shut the show down. So it's a whole lot of work, and I always recommend they go work with somebody else first before they decide to take that on.
Wow.
And you have a lot of them there in Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, even a few in northern Florida that I'm sure would be more than willing to mentor anyone that wants to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Pat, did you have a question or two? I've got one I want to ask here in a minute, but not really a question, but a comment.
Well, there's one from the chat room here, Matt, and they're asking, do judges get paid, and if so, how much, sort of what the range is?
I told them last weekend after I got done with the show I wanted to get paid by the bird because I think I judge over 600 birds. We do get paid. It varies from show to show and your amount of expenses. So usually the longer I have to travel, the more I have to drive, the more I'll make. The ones that are fairly local, we do a little less expensive. But they normally run the $200 to $250 a show range. So, and then if we have to have a hotel room, they'll usually cover that. So that's kind of the base.
You're not going to retire on this. So
no, it's usually, I mean, I've driven all over and I've flown all over the United States for just expenses too. So it's a labor of love. You're not doing it to get rich, and no one's ever offered me a couple $1 million to place their bird first, so until that happens, it's going to be pretty much on the up and up.
Oh, the temptation. Well, placing first, too, then, that whisper, that brings up one of your questions. about I'm walking up to a show, I see a bird I really like, and I buy it, and I enter it in the show, and it wins grand champion. Is that ethical?
There's nothing against purchasing birds. Everybody has to buy birds from somebody to start.
That's right.
I'm not
a
big fan of showing purchased birds, but there's no rules against that. So that's more of a personal thing. I don't. If I buy one and I show it, it's either it's a rare breed that there's not many of, so I like to see them get out there, I would prefer most of them are more valuable home as breeders than they are risking taking them to a show. So that's just a personal choice. There's people that just buy birds and show them. They don't raise anything either. So there's nothing in the rules against that.
My question, I was like, you know, here's this guy, never owned a I'm kind of reaching and pulling a scenario out of my ear, but, you know, to add a little bit to the story, but, you know, if somebody comes up and says, hey, what's going on over there? Oh, it's a poultry show. Oh, that's pretty neat. Never been to one. Let me go check it out. They go out to the sale area, and they buy a bird, and then let's say the next day maybe it's a double show, and they have time to enter it or whatever. Maybe they enter it the next weekend. They beat a deadline. You know, they've never owned a chicken in their life, and they enter it, and then they win grand champion or reserve best of this breed or that breed or whatever. Like I said, it's just me. I would be very, I don't know if I would be embarrassed, ashamed, and, you know, to do something. But I know it happens. I mean, it almost kind of happened at the show this weekend. Someone, I won't mention names, you know, bought a bird on Saturday, entered it, and then Sunday came away with, you know, an awesome award. And I just think about that, thinking, I don't know if I, in my right mind, I don't know if it's a moral decision, an ethical decision, or whatever. I just have a really hard time doing
that personally. That's exactly what it is, Andy. And thank God those people are in the minority. Even the worst scenario, here's one, is say someone goes in and buys that bird that won grand champion. So they think they really got something. They take it to the next show and it gets disqualified or doesn't place. Then we have the real discussion. Well, that's where you can't compare one show to another because it won it. You know, there's a difference between a bird that wins at a 500 bird show and there's a difference in the grand champion at the Ohio National. It's like the local dog show in Madison Square Gardens. You know, there's a level of excellence there that you have to be aware of.
Pardon me. So.
Yeah. Well, that it is an issue, but I don't see any problem with it. I mean, if you buy a race car, that doesn't mean, and then you enter the Indy 500, that doesn't mean you have to wait till next year to race your car.
Yes.
It's just a matter of timing thing. I mean, I'd like, go for it. If you see, gosh, that's the most beautiful bird.
Typically, those that say, I bought a bird from you and I showed it and it won well, when they do their show ad in the Poultry Press, they would, you know, put bred and raised by Pat.
Yeah.
And exhibited by me, so I always give somebody credit if they're the ones that actually break
them. Oh, absolutely.
There's some that don't. There's some that, you know, don't want you to know where they got it from. But to me, if life's that cheap and that's your only thrill, then go for it.
Oh, God. That kind of depends on where we get our self-esteem, huh? I have my self-esteem through my chicken. My chicken won something and I never have. Oh, well. Whatever.
It's funny. Yeah, that I had mentioned that, I think, with the APA one time as well. And like I think they said, too, there's no rules against it. It's just, I guess, a matter. It's, I don't know. I would just, like I said, it's a personal, I guess, issue. I would be embarrassed if that happened to me. Now, here's a kind of a valid question. And for, let's say, a double show. And I pretty much know the answer to this. Most probably can figure it out. But I enter, and you know, two judges have two different opinions. They look at birds differently. They judge birds differently. I completely get it. But you literally in a double show with maybe two or four judges, you know, your bird might win grand champion or whatever the first show, and then the next show, not even place at all. So if it was me again, Aaron, regular Joe, I'd be like, are you kidding me? What are you kidding? I won this awesome top prize, and then now I didn't even place. And then the same birds.
Here's my comeback, Andy, is this. If we were judging statues, that would probably hold true, that every show would be judged exactly the same every time. What we have when we're doing a poultry show is we have 1 minute to look at that bird. That bird has to do its thing during that 1 minute, or it's in trouble. So. If it looks great then and I go ahead and place it higher and it moves on, that's great. But let's say I'm walking down the aisle and I'm judging that class and that bird of yours that won the last show decides to lay an egg And I stand there 3 or 4 minutes trying to wait for her to do it, and she never gets it done, and she never really shows me what she's got. She's not going to place that well in that show. So I see this all the time in the double shows because we're in a big hurry to get in and out, and you don't have a lot of time, and you're probably not going to have exactly the same bird on both Champion Rose, mainly because of that reason, and too, that no two people are going to interpret the standard the same way. So although we try to all be consistent, there's some of us that are off a little bit, and that's where you'll see the variation.
And that goes, I think, for anything. Somebody might like Corvettes better. Somebody like my Camaros better at a car show. Somebody might like this plant better, this particular genus species of a plant better. So, I mean, again, we're all human. You're going to have maybe let's face it, maybe a little favoritism here or there when we're doing these things. Someone may love Rhode Island Red. Someone may love Silver Lace Blonde Oats. But
yeah, typically, I am a modern breeder or a... The breeder of the bird, if you're a judge, you really got to watch yourself because you're more critical of your breed than you should be because you're looking at it from a breeder standpoint and not a judge's standpoint. So a lot of times when I work the breeds that I'm very familiar with, I have to back up and say I'm looking for the best show bird and not the best overall bird. And that's a bias that some judges can never get over.
So... And that popped into my mind when you were talking about that. If you have, let's say it's not a huge show, and there's five, say, Rhode Island Red hens, and you look, are you judging each one of those birds based on the standard, or is bird A really competing against bird B? So if bird A is awesome, do you compare the other four to bird A, which is probably maybe the best looking one there, or are they all really, or do you try to judge all of them on the standard?
We judge by comparison, so we judge the bird to the standard. So we have a scale of points, and in your head, you're kind of going through that. So if it's a Rhode Island Red wing color, if it has bad wing color, then we're going to knock it 3 points for bad wing color. So you kind of go through the class looking at it that way. So we know what the ideal one is, and we're comparing each bird. And that's how I do it anyways. I compare each bird to the standard, mark my tags, and then I can go back and see the one that scored the highest. And invariably, 9 times out of 10, that's the one that, from the outside of the cage, I thought was the best one anyways. And then we place from there. So then we got the best bird in the class, and then we'll go down the row on how the other ones kind of weighed out compared to the standard. And it's just a system you have to learn when you're learning to judge. And once you get it down, I mean, there are certain breeds I can do in my sleep. So, I mean, I've done enough of them.
Yeah. That's absolutely cool. Hey, you've been on the show 45 minutes. I know you're working, and we thank you for coming on the show today. And hey, 45 minutes of your time is your valuable time, very important to us. We really thank you for coming on the show. Pat, any last question for Matt?
No, Matt, I just want to express my appreciation for all that you've done and are doing for the world of poultry. I know that it's guys like you, and especially in your position, and all these people that are out there doing the volunteer work to bring the poultry shows on. So I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for what you do.
Well, we appreciate it, and we enjoy being on the show, and I'm working real hard. Next month I want to get our secretary on. She's busy. She just finished up the yearbook and doing a newsletter and getting ready for our National in Columbus there in November, but I'd like to get her on and you can hear her perspective. She's a lifelong poultry fancier. Her mother and father were poultry fanciers, so she grew up in the fancy, and she'd be an interesting guest for you.
That's great. We would love to have have her on. In fact, I know the yearbook is out. I received my copy in the mail. I know a lot of other folks are. And it's absolutely awesome. I'm a little biased. I love this year because I was very fortunate and lucked up and got a great ad spot in there. And so I'm a little biased to this year's yearbook. But
one last tip, and I mentioned it in my introduction, but that yearbook I've always said is worth the price of a membership. And the box scores are what we call the who's who of Bantams in there. If you're looking for a particular breed or variety, that's where you want to go look and see who won what and where. And it's all listed there, so if the Chicken Whisperer wants black modern Bantams, he knows where to go from that book to buy them from. So it's worth its weight in gold just there.
And then I can go to the yearbook. I can look up an expert breeder for maybe some quotients. I can buy that quotient and then enter it in the contest this Saturday and win.
Win or get beat. I got two options.
Yeah, win or get beat. Exactly. I could get my tail feathers whooped. But yeah, I love it. No, absolutely great resources for breeders all around the world. And that's perfect. And I hope to meet you firsthand and shake your hand when we get up there to the Ohio National coming up in November. Really, really looking forward to that. I know you are too. I know that Karen is working very, very hard to get that situated. I just can't imagine what goes into that. And we'll maybe talk about that when we have you on. Are you going to be a judge there at the Ohio National?
Yes, I'll be judging, but just come get me and I'll step out for a little bit to talk to you because.
That'd
you're going to be overwhelmed when you get there anyways. And they told me yesterday they're projecting for 7,500. So that's a big show by any means. So, you know, we normally run 4,000 to 5,000 every year, and they're looking for it to go up several this year because of the ABA National.
That's going to be awesome. Well, Matt, we have been talking. Thank you very much for coming on. We've been talking with Matt Lamont. He is the vice president of the American Bantam Association and second Monday of every month, they are on telling us all about, and their website is www.bantamclub.com, www.bantamclub.com. You can go there, you can join, pay your membership, and then through your membership, you get a yearbook, which, like you're saying, is well worth just the membership. And then you get newsletters, you get all kinds of great things, so I encourage everybody to actually do that, bantamclub.com. Matt, thank you very much for joining us on your own time at work during lunch, coming on the show and answering these tough questions that we have. Thank you so much.
Yep, y'all have a good day.
You too, Matt.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
All righty. Wow, what a special treat. So glad that Matt, again, here he is at work. And had his own, you know, time at lunch, and then he decided to say, you know what, I'm still going to call in and be on the radio show and try to eat a tuna sandwich in between the questions or whatever.
You sure wasn't a chicken sandwich. Where does he work?
I'm not really sure
he works. Okay.
I'm not really sure, but I'm pretty sure I know that he is a Mustang lover. He is a lover of Mustangs, the Ford Mustang. He isn't, I know that much from seeing pictures on Facebook and things like that. So, but I'm not sure where Matt works full time. Maybe next time we have him on, we will definitely ask him. We're going to go to a short break, folks. When we come back, we'll continue with our Chickens in the News segment. Later today, also, we have the Chicken Trivia Contest. Today's Chicken Trivia Contest is brought to you by Crazy K Farm, makers of the Hen Saver Hen Apron. One lucky winner, one lucky caller who can answer the trivia question correctly is going to walk away today with a brand new Hen Saver Hen Apron for one of their hens to try it out. That'll be later towards the end of the show. When we come back, we'll have Chickens in the News. You're not going to want to miss that because we're going to get the hairs on the back of your neck standing straight up in frustration. So stay with us, folks. We'll be back right after this short break.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialists. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. They have incubators that hold anywhere from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. These durable, easy-to-clean, quality products come with a 2-year warranty and are the choice of backyard breeders through research establishments. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. And don't miss out on Brensea's September sale. Until the end of the month, you can save 20% or more on their full range of incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust. EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-567-7009.
952-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
NanoPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for NanoPro products at a retailer near you. NanoPro, nurturing life.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. Here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
This looks like a job for... Super Chicken, you get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
Answering a few questions we have that we had and gathered at the poultry show we attended this past weekend in Northwest Georgia. Poultry show and the county fair up there in Calhoun, Georgia. Had a great time. Let's see here. Chickens in the News segment. Today's Chickens in the News segment is brought to you by Meyer Hatchery. Do visit them online, meyerhatchery.com. Meyer Hatchery is sponsoring our trip to the Ohio National Poultry Show, their largest poultry show in the United States. In fact, we'll be broadcasting live from Meyer Hatchery on November the 12th, Friday, November 12th, broadcasting this radio show live from MeyerHatchery.com. So make sure you visit them online. All righty, so chickens in the news. Pat, do you have anything you'd like to start off with before I get on my daily rant?
Well, your rant is a pretty good one, and it's an amazing story. Why don't you just kick off with it? Because it is so outrageous.
It is absolutely and utterly, amazingly ridiculous and outrageous. I am an Atlanta native. I was born and raised here. My wife was born and raised here. My mom was born and raised here. My dad was born and raised in Chattanooga, Tennessee, just up the road, and attended Georgia Tech here in Atlanta. So, and then Jen's parents born and raised here, longtime residents. So I even lived in this county, DeKalb County, not where I live now, but I lived in DeKalb County from the pretty much, for how many years? Just decades. probably 3 decades, or close to 3 decades in this county. Always had issues, always just, but of course it goes along with any county. But I saw this yesterday evening. I had to get on the horn and call this gentleman, Steve, and we had a great conversation last night. I left a message for him today. I'm really going to try to get him on the radio show this Wednesday. This Wednesday is the Living Garden with Jane Jensen. We'll have her on till about maybe a little before 1, and then we'll bring Steve on, and he can tell us about this issue, where it stands, how it is, the whole nine yards. But this came to us from WSBTV.com, WSBTV here, Channel 2 ABC affiliate in Atlanta. From their website, WSBTV.com. County sues farmer, cites too many crops. Yep, you heard that correct. The county sues, DeKalb County, let me go ahead and make that clear. DeKalb County sues farmer, cites too many crops. DeKalb County is suing a local farmer for growing too many vegetables, but he says he will fight the charges in the ongoing battle neighbors call Cabbage Gate. It's not funny, but the neighbors are starting to call it Cabbage Gate. Okay.
That's funny.
Fig trees. Yeah. Fig trees, broccoli, and cabbages are among the many greens that line the soil on Steve Miller's more than 2 acres. He lives on more than 2 acres in Clarkston, which is a little city within the county of DeKalb, who says he has spent 15 years growing crops to give away and sell at local farmers markets. So he, and there's a video that goes along with this that I'm going to have everybody, thank you very much, Love for Poultry, for posting it in the chat room. You can actually see the video of his beautiful area and whatnot. But he says, it's a way of life, like it's something in my blood, says Miller. In January, DeKalb County Code Enforcement Officers, boo, began ticketing him for growing too many crops for the zoning and having unpermitted employees on site. Miller stopped growing vegetables this summer, and the charges were put on hold as he got the property rezoned. 2 weeks after approval, 2 weeks after he got his property rezoned, however, his attorney said the county began prosecuting the old charges, saying he was technically in violation before he rezoned. It should go away. I think it borders on harassment, said Miller's attorney, Doug Dillard. Miller faces nearly $5,000 in fines, but he says he plans to fight those citations in recorder's court later this month. Miller, a county spokesperson said, okay, here we go, talk about a cop-out. A county spokesperson said, officials can't discuss the matter while it's in court. Neighbors, however, were quick to come in his defense. When he moved here and I found out what he was doing, I said, Steve, you're the best thing that ever happened to Cimarron Drive, and I think, and I still say that, said neighbor Britt Faisus. So it's just absolutely, and there's a great video that goes along with the story. It was posted in actually the in the chat room, and it's posted on our Facebook page, just and on our Twitter account. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer, and you can see this. Talked to him on the phone last night for about 20 minutes. Left a message today. Going to have him, try to have him on Wednesday. In the back of my mind, I've even tempted to actually do an on-site live broadcast from his property this Wednesday. Once I talk to him and see if he's available even Wednesday, then that might be something if I can get a couple of good buddies to help me unload and set up and break down and whatnot for the radio show Wednesday. I may even broadcast from right smack dab in the middle of his 2 acres, right there in the cabbage and in the peppers and in the tomatoes and in the corn, and do a live rap broadcast from his property. But this is absolutely absurd. Now, DeKalb County is by far the perfect county. They've got issues just like every other county: drug dealers, murders, rapes, robberies, all these issues. And they're going after somebody, spending taxpayer dollars because he has a few vegetables in his yard. Give me a break, people. Don't you have something else to do with your time? I mean, you're wasting taxpayer dollars. The only money government has is the money it steals from the people. And so here they're using this money to go out and harass this man that's growing vegetables to give away to friends and neighbors, and then to sell to make a little money, probably to pay his doggone taxes at farmers markets. And it's just, and then they're cracking down. He has too many crops. You're not zoned to have more than 4 tomato plants. You know, give me a break. This is his property. Plants don't make any noise. Okay, it'd be one thing if we were talking about a rooster or barking dogs or you know, whatever the case may be. What you know, you can't hear plants growing. What is the complaint here? Squash plants are beautiful. Tomato plants are beautiful. Pepper plants are beautiful. Just because they grow something you can eat. You can eat dandelions, and there's a hell of a lot of dandelions in my neighborhood because people don't take care of their lawns. So it's just like, I mean, they make absolutely no noise at all. So, yeah, why don't they actually go after real criminals instead of people trying to grow their food, giving them away, trying to make a little money by giving them – yeah, they make oxygen, very good. And it's just amazing. It's just insane. I've had one of those weekends where I'm just kind of up to my nose and fed up with this bunch of junk like this. And then this comes out last night, and I saw it, and it was just over the top. So I've pretty much been in a bad mood all day. I found out last night that – speaking of bad moods, and we'll get back to this crop thing, is that Jennifer's parapro, her assistant in her classroom, was not able to attend today. The county says they have no money to actually hire a sub for her classroom, and so, of course, you know, out of the goodness of my heart, I have no problem helping my wife. She helps me on the road and do radio show. I go in and help her because the county claims they can't afford a substitute to come in for her. If they allow and hire parapros in the classroom right there, they're identifying that, yes, there needs to be a parapro. When you have 24 to 29 5-year-olds, you need that parapro in there. They've already obviously admitted that because they do have them for them, but then now they're claiming they don't have any money to hire a sub. I told her today, I said, if I worked in the front of that school, I would document every single piece of anything that comes in that school to see what they're spending their money on instead of allowing subs. So that irritated me, number one, I could go on and go on my little rant, but let's get back here, Pat. This is just ridiculous. I mean, the county's suing them for $5,000. Sounds like it's all about money. They're already strapped for money in DeKalb County. So that maybe it's a money issue. Oh, we can get $5,000 out of this guy for growing peppers in his front yard on 2 acres. this is insane.
I don't know. You know, where they're follow the money, but there's got to be something that's deeper behind this because I don't see why they would just come up out of the blue saying you're growing too many plants. So that it'll be interesting to see if there's a neighbor complaint or if there's some sort of a competition with some cutting into someone else's profits. It doesn't make sense, but there's somewhere back there is somebody's logic about why this complaint is going forward even after he got his zoning. I mean, that's the real puzzling part. So that'll be I'm looking forward to hearing more as this story unfolds. Nothing is as it seems, you know, in many times.
Yeah, I mean, I put on my Facebook page, I would be more than happy to organize a protest and a march, but no one would show up. No one would show up. If it doesn't affect their pocketbook, they're not going to show up. And then that's another thing that irritates me about a lot of folks today. If it doesn't affect their pocketbook, if it doesn't affect their Coach bag and their Armani sunglasses and their leased BMW or the pool in their backyard, they don't give a damn. They don't care. If it affects them, then all of a sudden it's an issue. That's another thing that makes me mad. I would be more than happy to do some kind of organization or gather or meeting there, broadcast live on location, get people fired up about it. They won't show up. It's kind of like back when I was EMT and paramedic, and I would sit there at the station, and I would hear people complain about pay and about the conditions, and I would tell them, especially the newbies, I'm like, you see that building across the street? You know what that building is? That's the county commissioner's building. If you really want to, you know, do something about it, don't fill my ear with it. I'm right there with you. Let's go across the street. Let's hold some signs on our off day. Let's go in there and explain to them, what our needs are, what our wants are, and then do this correctly. And you know what the response I got, Pat?
Can't do that. I have a car payment. I can't do that. I have a car payment. What if I get fired?
Okay, well then shut up. I don't want to hear about it. Don't keep blasting me and telling me that you think you're worth more, you should get paid more, or you should have these work conditions or whatever, unless you're willing to walk across the street and do something about it. And I've seen far too many times. I do hate to use this as an example, and we're all guilty, I guess, somewhat of it, but it's like this. You probably, you know, a lot of people have never even gone on a cancer benefit walk. Oh, until someone in their family gets cancer. Then all of a sudden it's important to them, and they're asking others to come and help and having others come and donate money. And then now it's an issue because it affected their family. But if it doesn't affect their wallet, if it doesn't affect their pool, if it doesn't affect their leased BMW, if it doesn't affect their Armani sunglasses and their Coach purse, then they don't care about it, it seems like. It's absolutely amazing to me. I would be more than happy to have some type of gathering at his facility, broadcast live, you know, march on the council steps, go to a council meeting, and then 4 people show up. But then if it happens to them, then all of a sudden they want everybody else to come, hey, come help me. Well, you know, it's like, where were you? It's like that old saying, back when, you know, if not you, who? If not now, when? You know, it's just one of these days it's going to be too late. And everybody's going to be like, well, woulda, shoulda, coulda. And then I'm going to be sitting there going, well, I told you. And then, you know, it's just absolutely, incredible. So, no, there's no webcam today. I was too busy. As they were asking, no. to the webcam. I was just too busy at the beginning of the show, kind of, you know, making sure that Matt was going to be able to come on and getting chickens in the news and the commercials run and the today's trivia contest and whatnot. So, it's just one of those things. Someone says, I really want to see Andy foaming at the mouth. This is probably pretty good. He's on a little rant. So, it's just one of those things. There is light at the end of the tunnel for me. I can't get into that right now, but hey, it's just truly amazing. This just makes me livid. It just really does. I mean, do these people have nothing else to do with their time? I mean, it's another day as the Chicken Whisperer in Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Land, I guess I should say. But I'm serious. I bet you $1 million if I scheduled some type of gathering, we'd have 25 people. If that. That would even show up and do anything. So we've got something coming up on the 21st, actually a week from tomorrow, at Cherokee County, here a local suburb of just outside of Atlanta. They're approaching allowing backyard poultry. I'm going to go, and we've scheduled it as a meetup with our meetup group, and we all wear yellow so people know that why we're there and what we're supporting, and I do plan to speak, but it's one of those, and it's after work. It's like 7 p.m. And so it's not even really during a lot of people's work times, but they won't show up. But, I can keep chickens. They just don't understand that, yeah, but all they have to do is change the laws and you won't be able to keep chickens. Yeah, that's just keeping them, give them a little bit. It's kind of like the school board. Let me start there. It's kind of like the school board, and I may have shared this with a lot of you folks. Jen was presented with an award for some project that she did or won, and so they were having award nights, and it was award night before the school board meeting one evening, Tuesday night, whatever it was. So Jen, I went with her. I'm proud of her. She's getting this award. The auditorium was packed. I mean, it was packed with all these people wanting to see whoever got these awards. Great. Okay. And then all of a sudden, after the meeting, they said, okay, now it's time for our regularly scheduled school board meeting. We invite you to stay and hang out with us. Not one person. Me and Jen hung out a little bit. I wanted to see how many people are going to hang out. They came and got their little awards and got their pat on the back and they smiled and got their picture taken and they walked out the door. And this auditorium that holds, 300-500 people, empty. Empty, not one person. And I was just like, see, here's the problem. Those people sitting up in those leather chairs think that, well, obviously nobody cares if I spend this money this way. Obviously nobody cares if I do this, that, or the other because they're not here. So if nobody cares what I do, then I'm going to do it my way or do it this way and just assume that everybody and everything is going to be okay because they don't. No one's there to dot their I's, cross their T's, or make sure they're dotting their I's and crossing their T's. It's insane. Like when they had the inauguration here in Johns Creek, the city has 60,000 people, and I think only about, when you look at the votes, I meant to look that up today, when you look at the votes of how many people voted for this city, I think it ended up being somewhere around 3,000, and even then about half of those, maybe 1,500, voted against it. So it wasn't a landslide. Out of 60,000 people, and you end up having maybe 3,000 vote for a city, and so now it's a city because 3,000 people voted for it and maybe 1,500 didn't. It wasn't a landslide. And so when they went to the inauguration, the new city council members, the new mayor, all this stuff, it was all grand. It was at a big high school, big fancy high school in a big auditorium, and they made a big deal out of it. They had restaurants come in and bring finger foods. They had grocery stores come in and bring shrimp cocktail and all this junk, and the place was packed. I mean, it was packed, standing room only, because it was who's who, and, oh, I can have shrimp with you, and I can eat this little tartare with you, and I can have this little quiche with you. But then once that all that who's who and picture-taking and pat-on-the-back crap was over, then guess what happened next? They said, well, now we're going to lower the gavel, and we're going to have our first city council meeting. I don't know, maybe a couple of dozen people. That was it. The 500 were there for shrimp and steak tartare and quiche and pat on backs and lots of flashes going off. But when it came to exactly where their taxpayer money were going, it was two dozen people just standing there waiting to see what they had planned for their tax dollars in their city. And that's just, I think that's par for the course anywhere in the country. And it's just, I mean, it's absolutely amazing how that works. This is a perfect example. I mean, I wonder how many people are going to go with Steve to court when he goes to court to try to support him. I don't know. I don't even know if I'll be available that day, but it's insane. It's totally insane. It's just, bleh. Where do I go from here? What do I go from here? What do you think, Pat?
Well, this is very interesting. The news story I've got, Whisper, kind of puts it into context, because while we have one local farmer that is just on 2 acres raising some local vegetables and feeding folks and making a little money in the farmer's market, this is an ongoing saga that we've talked about probably 4 or 5 times on the show, but yet here it is again. This is from the Bloomberg Business Week, and it's from Executive Health, and it says, poultry litter leaches arsenic into streams and rivers, scientists report. So here we have big industry. They're putting one of the most toxic substances that's known to people in feed that's leaching into our food system, and yet there's not any citations, there's not any zoning, there's not any sort of legislative anything yet. So this came out. It says poultry litter might be, or could be, can be a significant source of arsenic in the farm field runoff that finds its way into streams and rivers, new research indicates. Arsenic is a poisonous chemical linked with cancer and other really serious, I might add, health problems in humans. Remember the movie Arsenic and Old Lace? You know, that's how they did her in, was with the arsenic. Our chicken feed is sometimes supplemented with the roxurone, which is an arsenic-containing compound that's intended to control parasites and promote weight gain. Most of the arsenic is excreted by the chickens, and of course then it gets mixed in with the sawdust and the other litter that's collected then from poultry houses, and then it's used by farmers to fertilize their crops. And this was explained by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, their Agriculture Research Service. So meanwhile, over a 2-year period, the Pasture Systems and Watershed Management Research Unit has measured the arsenic levels in runoff flowing from farm fields into drainage ditches, and they find that the large-scale poultry production in Delmarva, Delaware, Peninsula is getting contaminated with arsenic, and of course that feeds into the Chesapeake Bay. So these findings will be published in the November-December issue of the Journal of Environmental Quality. So who's to say, dang, I mean, On one hand, this guy is offering a solution to environmentally friendly farming. On the other hand, we have big industry continuing for decades to put arsenic into poultry feed, and now it's leaching into the environment. What do you think? Oh, dear. You there, Whisper?
What do I think?
What I think is I need
to buy about 100 acres in the middle of absolutely nowhere and start building a wall like the Great Wall of China all around my 100 acres and do what the hell I want inside that wall, and then tell everybody to keep the hell out. It just makes me absolutely angry. Angry. And I know a lot of people out there agree with me. Otherwise, they wouldn't be listening to the show. I mean, they listen to the show, I'm assuming because they like what they hear. They agree. They want to grow their own food. They want to be left alone. They want to be able to provide for their family. They want to be able to do it without being bugged by their neighbor who needs to keep their nose in their own business, and the government as well. It just makes me so angry. Yeah, great. Arsenic in our food. That's just wonderful. Absolutely.
Well, no, it's not in the, it's in the food, now it's getting in the watersheds. So, you know, it's only a matter of time until it gets into the ocean and, of course, the aquifers. And I mean, why on earth are we putting arsenic into anything that has to do with our food supply? But anyway, so there's two to answer. Now I've got one more nice one. Do we have time before the trivia question?
We have time. Yeah, we have time. But you know what the problem is? The problem is, like the lady I ran into Publix, you've heard the story before, we're sitting there looking at frozen green beans, and I said, oh, it looks like the high diesel prices are finally affecting our food. And she looked at me in her little tennis dress and her Armani sunglasses and her Coach bag, and she says, huh? Why would diesel prices affect our food prices? Why would the price of diesel affect the price of green beans? About fell out on my rear end right there in the frozen section of the supermarket. Because she had absolutely no clue. I bet she could tell you what color scarf was in that day, or where to buy the best deal on the Coach purse.
You're being judgmental now. Be careful. You know, God does not want you to be judgmental.
That's true.
There you go.
I'm my worst judgment. I judge myself more than anybody else. But yeah. So she had no clue. That's the big problem right there. Is that. Oh, my goodness. Kelly in Georgia said people are stupid. I guess we're all a little bit stupid. I don't know a whole lot about really anything, but It's just, hey, a lot of this, yes, there's no shortage of idiots out there, it says Kaylee in Georgia in the chat room. So, yeah, in fact, Obsessed with Chickens, we're going to have a little chickeneer commune. We're going to have our own little chickeneer commune and all gather and grow our own food and have our backyard poultry and have a great time and whatever. So, okay, go ahead with your next one, Pat, and then we'll give away some awesome prizes.
Okay, this is really short. It's just yet another ray of hope pops up, and this is from Fort Lauderdale, is asked to allow chickens as pets. And this comes to us from the Sun Sentinel down there in Florida. It's by Scott Wyman, and it says, big dogs are okay, so are turtles, rabbits, and tropical fish, but don't try to keep a pet chicken or a coop in your backyard. This is from Renee Rung, has launched a campaign to persuade the Fort Lauderdale City Hall to change their laws. She wants the right, this is a right now, to have a couple of hens so her family can eat fresh eggs at breakfast, just like the farmer in Iowa, the big-time farmer in Iowa that raises 23 million chickens at a time. I'm sure he has eggs every day. But anyway, she's not alone. The urban farming movement has swung up across the country, as we know, in recent years. It is going full steam, and city dwellers have been questioning the logic behind the ordinances that ban them from keeping poultry on their property, on their own private property. So just to let you know, I bet it's going to go through, as we know about 85% of the cities that bring up a request to change the laws are successful, and over a period of 5 to 6, 7 years, it's 100% successful. So good, way to go, Fort Lauderdale. We're all for you down there. Anything we can do, just let us know. And that's it. What's this UGG on the chat room whisper? Are you UGGing? Are you UGGing in public? You are.
UGG. Oh, man.
Is this a primal UGG or is this a sophisticated UGG?
Yeah, definitely primal, coming from lots of internal anger. I'm tired of it. Okay, let's get to our chicken trivia contest. Let me go ahead and give everybody the number. Guess what, folks? The number doesn't change. 347-637-3237. Yep, it's 347-637-3237. We're going to take caller number 10 today, caller number 10, who calls in and has the correct answer to the following question. What is wrong with society today? If you can answer that question, caller number 10, I'm just kidding, because that would be a very, very long and drawn-out answer. Today's question is, what is the outward reverse of each individual feather's direction called? I'll repeat that. What is the outward reverse of each individual feather's direction called? Feather, apostrophe S, feathers. One more time. And, of course, it's being posted in the chat room as we speak. What is the outward reverse of each individual feather's direction called? We're looking for a term here, 347-637-3237. The winner today is going to win an awesome Hen Saver Hen Apron from Crazy K Farm. Visit them online, see what they're all about, hensaver.com. If you have an overly loving rooster that's really wreaking havoc on your hen or some hens, then this may be the solution for you to protect your hens from the over-loving rooster. And it also can possibly protect from a hawk attack as well. Keep those predators away. Hensaver.com. Number 10, caller, 347-637-3237. What is the outward reverse of each individual feather's direction called? That's what we're actually looking for. That's what we're looking for. I think maybe they're putting too much fluoride in our water, Pat. That's what causes us to dumb down America through fluoride in our water. Maybe that's it.
Fluoride is a bad actor. It causes joint pains and all kinds of problems. There's even some evidence that fluoride disrupts the nerve, the way the nerves form in the teeth. And have you noticed how many people have braces? I mean, when I was growing up, nobody had braces, but now even adults are having braces, and I suspect that could be traced possibly to fluoride. Oh, well. That's why I use fluoride-free toothpaste.
I do too, and I don't use any aluminum in our underarm deodorant. We make sure we get deodorant that's aluminum free.
Oh, I got you beat there. I don't use any deodorant at all. Interesting. Yeah. As soon as I notice any sort of odors, I hop in that sauna and it just sweats it out. So that's my cue that I need to go detox. I know.
Alrighty, folks. Maybe it's a good thing you won't be at the Ohio National in November.
I'll be there the year after, though, even if I can't be there this year.
Oh, dear. My
goodness. Of course, I'm going to be having a fun weekend. I mean, you don't feel sorry for me because I'm going to be with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy at the White Eagle Conference Center in Hampton, New York for their Healthy Herds, Healthy Markets annual conference. So I'll be giving a presentation, of course, on chickens and how they fit into urban agriculture. So, and I probably won't even use deodorant there, which is more than you wanted to know, I know. Oh, well.
Only on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer,
yeah,
folks.
It's not even Friday.
It's not even Friday yet. It's Monday, and a heck of a Monday at that. So, okay, I guess a lot of people don't know this because the phone lines are just not pounding away today like they normally are. Normally I've got a whole list on the switchboard of people who think they know the answer to our question. So let me repeat the question one last time. What is the outward reverse of each individual feather's direction called? That's what we're looking for, 347. Yeah, we got a couple in queue, Kelly. So we're just trying to get it up there to call number 10 to make it fair. What is the outward reverse of each individual feather's direction called? 347-637-3237. So give us a call. We're just about there. I just want to make sure that we get the right caller. For the right prize. Let me get my information out here so I can get their information down so I can call them after the show to get that. And, let's see here. Let me reboot the switchboard one more time.
Did you reboot the switchboard?
Yeah, I didn't clear it out like we did with the coop.
No, not
like we did at the coop tour. No, I update or refresh it. That's a better word, refresh it, just to see if we had any new callers that had come through. Alrighty, here we go. Just popped in here. Going to the phone lines. Alrighty, you are on the air with Andy and Pat, whether you like it or not. It's a really weird up Monday. Area code calling in from area code 314, area code 314. If you'll state your name and what state you're calling from, please.
This is Tracy. I'm calling from Missouri.
Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
We're sorry you had to listen to all our rants today, Tracy, but it was a Monday.
Love
it. And we were I figure if somebody doesn't want to listen, they can always hit that little X in the top right corner of their computer.
Right. No, I loved it and I agree, so.
So, all right, Tracy, what do you think? Let me read the question one more time, and it is, what is the outward reverse of each individual's feather's direction called? What do you think the answer is?
Is it frizzled?
It is. Frizzling or frizzled. We'll take both of those. That's absolutely perfect. And even if you would have got it wrong, Pat would have given you a trophy, so it's all good.
And probably a grand prize to boot. Just for being brave enough to call in.
I didn't even have to Google that one.
Usually I have to Google them. I was really surprised that we didn't have more callers calling in today. We got a lot of folks in the chat room, but not a problem. Let's see how much time we have here before we've got to go. About 3 minutes. Tracy, how many chickens do you have and what breeds?
I just got some little chicks. They're a week and a half old and a bunch of different breeds. So.
Bunch of different ones. Very good. A week and a half old, so they're still in the brooder.
Yeah.
Very good. And so probably here in about 20 weeks, being in the middle of winter, maybe 26 to 28 weeks, you'll start hopefully getting some nice fresh eggs. Did you buy them already sexed? You may have a rooster in the bunch?
You know what? I suspect I have at least one rooster in the bunch. I got them from Ideal Poultry, but I did ask for them sexed, but I know you can only get 9 out of 10.
90% chance rate. That's really, in my opinion, it's a little bit more than that, but they do that for just to make sure that they cover their bases. But if you end up having a rooster and it maybe is a little bit too, gives one of your hens a little too much loving, then you can use this hen saver hen apron. And actually, there may be some other advantages to that as well with hawk attacks for your hen. Mm-hmm. You can try it out, see if you like it. So that'll be awesome. And I want everybody else to visit our wonderful sponsor, Crazy K Farm, Hen Saver Hen Aprons at hensaver.com. Tracy, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate you calling in, and congratulations on your win. I'll call you after the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Tracy, you're Purple Lotus in the chat room. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
I thought I remembered that right. Okay, great. Love your comments.
Thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All righty. Well, that's going to wrap it up for me and Pat here at Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. All I can say is, folks, it was a Monday. The weekend is over, but we have a great show lined up for you this week. Tomorrow, we'll have the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. Jeanette Beringer is going to be here talking about best turkeys for breeding. Wednesday, the Living Garden with Jane Jensen. Hopefully, we'll have the gentleman that's being sued by DeKalb County, Georgia, for having maters in his front yard. And then it looks like on the 16th, we'll have Poultry Today with Dr. McCray, and then another great fun Friday where we'll give away more prizes. So I want to thank you very much for listening. You can see that article about the man being sued for having tomatoes in his front yard at our Facebook page, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. We'll see. Thanks to all the people in the chat room. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Blog Talk Radio. Pat?
Okay, yeah. Well, of course, and again, thanks for Matt Lehman, the Vice President of the American Bantam Association, for coming on and talking about shows and judging. And, of course, Andy, thanks to you just for being you. We always appreciate you no matter what mood you're in. Of course, thanks to the chat room chickeneers and all the listeners for clucking along. And, of course, thanks to blogtalkradio.com for providing the radio, chat, and video services. Blessings to all. We look forward to being with you all again the rest of the week, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.
Well, I guess it would help if I'd stop chatting in a chat room and get over here and play my doggone theme song, but it's just been one of those days, doggone it.
Now I can't even find it.
There it is.
Do you want me to clock it?
See you later, Pat.